Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest Rhode Island's 1st District Congressman David Cicilline. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Our guest, Congressman Cicilline, says he's attending Donald Trump's inaugural today to send the message that Democrats are in the fight, quote, from the very first minute. But Democrats are on the outside looking in, since Republicans now control Congress, the White House, and probably a majority of the Supreme Court before long. So, Congressman Cicilline, can Democrats really make a difference in opposing the Trump agenda?
Absolutely. Look, Democrats are going to play a different role now that we no longer control the White House and we've lost the House and the Senate. But a perfect example of this is when the Republicans took control, the first thing they did in their caucus was to gut the ethics office. And they were prepared to come to the floor, change the rules that really gutted that office.
Wasn't that really the influence of public perception, no, though, that caused them to backtrack on that?
But it was Democrats who came out immediately and called it out. We activated the public, and they expressed their outrage, and the Republicans changed course. So we're going to have to do that a lot.
A quick follow-up before we go to Maureen. Beyond Republicans shooting themselves in the foot, how will Democrats be able to make a difference here?
Well, Democrats are going to be able to make a difference, of course, because we're going to be able to help shape legislation. You still have rules in the Senate that require bipartisan support to avoid a filibuster for things to come out. So Democrats in the House are going to help shape stuff to put it in a form that are acceptable to Democrats in the Senate. So we're going to work closely. Obviously, we're in the minority. Our voices will have to be heard as things are shaped. We're going to continue to fight for resources for our states through the federal funds that come to Rhode Island. We're going to, of course, have to really engage the public and helping prevent really bad things from happening.
Is the congressman right?
Well, I think you're right. But the other big questions are where and when are you prepared to work with the Republicans? For example, on the health care and also infrastructure. I mean, if he proposes infrastructure, I would think you're on board. So there may be ways that you can fight the good fight, but you can also promote an agenda that is positively shaped with your help.
Absolutely. I mean, one example of that is the president-elect has spoken about the ability to bring down prescription drug prices by allowing Medicare to negotiate with Big Pharma. That's a Democratic bill. I'm a co-sponsor of it. That's an example. If he's serious about that, about forcing the insurance companies to negotiate discounted prices, we can bring down prescription drug prices. So there are, anytime there's an example of that, that's good for Rhode Island, good for our country, we'll find that common ground. We'll see whether he's serious about actually doing that.
What do you make of the fact that so many of your colleagues are boycotting the inauguration?
Look, I think that there are many of my colleagues who strongly oppose the incoming administration, the policies and the rhetoric of the incoming president, and their absence is a powerful way to demonstrate their opposition. There are others like me who think that the best way to express our strong opposition is to make it clear we're not going anywhere. We're not leaving the field, that we're going to be in this fight from the moment he takes office to hold him to account. And so I think everyone kind of does it in their own way. There's broad consensus in our caucus that we will oppose the policies that we think are bad for this country and be in this fight, and I think members just sort of express it in different ways.
Let's turn our attention back to Rhode Island briefly. The centerpiece of Governor Raimondo's new budget is a proposal to offer 2 years of free tuition at state universities for Rhode Islanders. The governor calls this an investment in the state's future and a way to give people the skills needed to compete in the economy. But some people question whether this is too much of a handout after state workers were asked to tighten their belts through the 2011 pension overhaul, where out-of-state truckers are going to be asked to pay tolls as part of the infrastructure improvement effort in Rhode Island. What do you say, Congressman?
Well, look, I think the General Assembly and the governor will have to make some choices about what are the right priorities and how do you make trade-offs in budgets. But I will say this. I think the idea of sort of changing the kind of mindset so that K through 12 is no longer what we expect, but K through 14 is absolutely the right direction. There's no greater investment that we can make than in education. If you look at the new jobs that are going to be created in the next decade or two, most of them will require some post-secondary education. We will be the first state to make that available. I think it will make us more competitive. It will allow young people to have a real opportunity to stay in Rhode Island and find a job and begin a career. There is no wiser investment than education. I think it's a very exciting idea, and I hope the General Assembly and the governor are able to do it.
Scott, this initiative is not very costly, $10 million in the first year, up to a topping out at about $30 million a year. Do you think that's money well spent?
I think this is money very well spent. Look, going back to 1862 and the Morrill Act, the government in this country has always had a role in pushing an educated workforce. Now, that's when, back in the Civil War, we created land-grant state universities. And since then, if you've gone through Rhode Islanders in particular, former Senator Pell, with his Pell Grant program, which any politician would kill to have their name on something like that. I think Rhode Island used to have a very, very strong program of aid to higher education, public higher education. When the recession hit, Governor Cacciari went another way, and he and the legislature at that time really slashed aid to our colleges and universities. Governor Chafee reversed that program, and now Governor Gina Raimondo has what looks to me like an exciting new way of trying to get a better educated workforce here in Rhode Island.
Maureen, you obviously teach at URI, and URI President David Dooley is a very enthusiastic supporter of this effort. What kind of difference do you think it will make if it goes ahead for students in Rhode Island?
I think it's going to make a great deal of difference, particularly for our Rhode Island students. People have to remember, the way this is structured, students have skin in the game. They have to be eligible to get into these institutions. They have to keep their grades up, and it's a four-year deal. We have a tremendous problem with 6 and 8 years because this is a working class constituency, a lot of the people from URI. So they only get the tuition after their sophomore year. So they get it in their junior year. I mean, I think it's a great way to start. I think it's a great investment. And frankly, I don't see the trade-off between investing in education and the truckers. I mean, that's not even in the same ballpark. I think this is a critical piece of moving forward in the 21st century.
Let's close out our discussion by talking about the fate of Obamacare, which Republicans in Congress have vowed to repeal. Congressman Cicilline, your Democratic colleagues in the delegation have been very critical about this, saying it'll leave millions of people without health insurance. Don't Democrats bear some blame for this situation because voters have expressed their support for Republicans in Congress? That's why there's a Republican majority there. So how much blame do Democrats bear?
Well, I think the reality is even people who voted for Republicans didn't actually think they were voting to lose their health insurance. I think most people think they actually wouldn't do that. This has helped millions of Americans who didn't have insurance before. It's kept premiums at the slowest rate of increase in 50 years. It's allowed millions of Americans with a pre-existing medical condition to finally get insurance, ended lifetime caps on insurance, allowed young people to stay on their parents' plan until 26. The problem is a lot of these benefits didn't kick in until the last few years, and now finally the momentum is changing. The poll that came out just last week, more Americans support the Affordable Care Act than not, and it's been the case. The Kaiser Foundation, everyone goes to each of those elements of the Affordable Care Act. They love it, and they say, do you support Obamacare? And they say, no. We haven't done a good job of selling it, but we are going to fight hard to protect Rhode Islanders from losing their insurance.
Yeah. And I would say one thing that is, you know, when Bill Clinton said that some of the programs are a mess, you could have picked up on that earlier and admitted that, you know, we had to restructure it. And I think there was a kind of a siege mentality there, that if people had realized that you acknowledged the difficulties and were about to fix it, maybe that would have made a difference.
Absolutely. And there are improvements that can be made to strengthen it. And we've always been willing to do that. We've, unfortunately, for the last 7 years, have only had motions to repeal it in its entirety or defund it. We should be working together to make it work better, but not repeal it, particularly with no plan to replace it.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And First District Congressman David Cicilline.
Thank you for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.